This year marks the 80th anniversary of Victory in Europe Day. On May 8, 1945, celebrations erupted around the world to mark the end of the Second World War. From the fall of 1944 to the spring of 1945, Canadian soldiers, including the Cape Breton Highlanders, played a pivotal role in liberating the Netherlands town by town. Their perseverance paved the road to liberation and the eventual surrender of the remaining German forces. Colonel McIntyre of Sydney started his military career when he was 13 as an army cadet. He was 3 years old when the war ended, but later went on to serve with the Cape Breton Highlanders throughout his career. He went to Europe in 2005 for the 60th anniversary of VE Day. He was the president of the Cape Breton Highlanders at that time. A man approached McIntyre after noticing the Highlanders' crest on his jacket and shared a remarkable memory of the Second World War. McIntyre tells CKOA Radio, a man approached him after noticing the Highlanders' crest on his jacket and shared a remarkable memory of the Second World War.
I remember taking some stuff to, I guess what we would call a laundromat, after about the first week. And I'm just trying to remember. I can see the guy's face. What did he say? Oh, yeah, got it. He said, you're here with the delegation, blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah. What unit were you with? I said, I wasn't. But Cape Breton Highlanders is my unit, is my regiment. I'm currently serving as their, as their president. He said, I got my first chocolate bar from a Cape Breton Highlander. He said, I was 8 years old. We had been occupied. The Germans occupied them for 6 years. And at the end of the war, and maybe even during, the Dutch were eating tulip bulbs to stay alive because the Germans were sending everything, every bit of product, which is just, unfortunately, that's how warfare works. They were sending it back to Germany, and the Dutch were just pretty well left on their own to survive.
On the night of April 30th to May 1st, 1945, in the final days of the Second World War, the Cape Breton Highlanders entered the fray with a singular mission: to neutralize the German coastal cannons north of the strategic port city of Delfzijl. McIntyre led a tour of the site of the Highlanders' final battle when he visited Europe.
There were still five veterans of the last battle of the Cape Breton Highlanders in actually 80 years from the time we're speaking right now, they would have been in action. We were fortunate enough to have six, actually. Only one of those guys who is still around, he's 102. The other guys have since passed. They were all Cape Breton individuals who had joined the unit in 1939. We went over the whole area of the last attack. The battle, incidentally, was, you might have heard, in a place in northern Holland called Delfzijl. We were, I wouldn't say wined and dined, but we were certainly well dined by surrounding towns besides Delfzijl that the CVH had come through. The Dutch have been so amazingly loyal and appreciative of the Canadians for their liberation, and it was very, even in 2005, they were still thanking, and I would imagine 2025, it'll be the same thing for this delegation.
McIntyre says he was approached by a woman who remembered a Cape Breton Highlander who spent time with her family during the war.
She said, are you Cape Breton Highlanders? And I said, yes, I'm serving as their president. She said, do you know Melvin McLean? And I said, I don't know Melvin, but I know his brother, Charlie the Fox McLean, and I knew his son and his nephew. She said the McLeans, Melvin, was billeted at our place. The CBH stayed around until demobilization in 1946. This is a fact that doesn't get brought out very often. But things were still, shall we say, not quite set up. As you can imagine, you're occupied for 6 years, and then all of a sudden you've got to get things started up again. But you better have some guys with rifles around while you're getting organized.
McIntyre says the Dutch appreciation followed him back home after his trip to the Netherlands. He attended a ceremony in Halifax not long after his return, where he met a Dutch war bride.
And I said, I got talking to her, and I was very overwhelmed. And I said, look, I'm amazed at the loyalty of the Dutch people toward the Canadians. And she said, well, it was not surprising. We were invaded by whom we considered our cousins, like Deutsch and Dutch are pretty close together. So they were actually connected with the German people. And she said, we were abhorred at the terrible things they did to us, starving us and occupying us and the whole thing. And then a bunch of young people from across the seas that we had hardly even heard of came and liberated us. Oh, God.
Some homes across Canada have received reminders of the military members who fought and died in the final months of the Second World War. Each address was mailed a postcard with the name, story, and fate of the soldier who lived there prior to enlisting in Canada's war effort. One of those letters was sent to Railroad Street in Whitney Pier. Alex Fitzgerald Black with the Juno Beach Centre Association tells us more.
James David Eddy, E-D-D-Y. He was born on August 8, 1924 in Sydney. His parents were Joseph and Sadie from Halifax. His father was actually a First World War veteran. And like a lot of families back in those days, he was just one of 13 children. He left school at 15 for work, and he worked at the Dominion Steel and Coal Corporation as an electrician and pipe fitter. He got married quite early. So July 15th, 1942, he married Lillian May. They had a child, David Nelson. He then enlisted on February 24th of 1944 while he was living at the address that the postcard was sent to. And he wanted to train as a truck driver. And now he did get to train as a truck driver, but the Army needed trained infantry. So he was also trained as an infantryman. They had their second child on August 13th, 1944. Her name was Lillian Rose. And shortly after that, he shipped out to the UK. So he arrived overseas on August 12, 1944, and then a month later was sent to the continent and assigned as a reinforcement to the South Saskatchewan Regiment in December. After a winter of training and patrols in the Netherlands in the Nijmegen area, the Allied invasion of Germany proper began. And he fought in the Rhineland and during Operation Blockbuster, which was a fight in particular to breach what was called the Hochwald Gap, a German defensive position. His unit was clearing basically a forested area, and he was killed during those operations at 20 years old. So there, you know, that was just one of 1945 postcards that went across the country. And the idea is to connect Canadians with stories from their local communities. So on the postcard, on one side of the card, is an image of four Canadian servicemen from the Second World War with the backdrop of a Canadian war cemetery. And then on the back, or I guess the front, depending on how you want to label postcards, because actually the front has the message on it. It has the name of the individual, how old he was, He was one of 45,000 Canadians whose lives were cut short in the fight for a better world. There's a QR code on the postcard so that can be scanned and they can go find out more information about the life of that individual, because we have some resources that can help them with that. And if they want to share the story, they can contact us either on social media or use the hashtag Juno2Victory. Yeah, so the idea was to, raise awareness both about, the anniversary and the Canadian sacrifice for freedom and democracy 80 years ago, and also to raise awareness about the Juno Beach Center, our museum on the D-Day landing beaches, where we work every day to share stories like these.
For the Local Journalism Initiative, Bill McCush, Coast Radio News.